Welcome back to another episode of the Catholic Buzz. We're so happy that you're joining us again as we continue our conversations about all things Catholic. And as you can see, I'm joined here, as always, by the two experts in all things Catholic. It's Josh Sullivan and Matt Van Milligan. Guys, so nice to be back in person. Last week, we kind of had a virtual experience, but it's nice to see you guys.
Can I say it's a little weird on the new set that we don't know where to look when you're saying that just starting the intro. It's because like at one time it was just you on camera, so we're kind of like, oh, okay. But now it's like, okay, we're all so close together. I'm gonna stare at you.
Is there pasta in my teeth? I just ate some pasta.
No, you're good. Oh, okay. You're good. Or do we look at the camera? Because that also looks a little weird. All three people looking at the camera.
All three of us. Yeah, it's so true. So how have you guys been? I know,
Matt, have you been getting sleep?
A little bit, yeah, here and there.
Yeah,
we'll see. Yeah.
We had lots of messages come in of people congratulating you on the birth of Michael.
Yeah,
and he really is. I know last week you showed a picture of Michael, but we've been seeing him at church.
Yeah,
and just such a little cutie.
He's pretty adorbs. Yeah,
he is pretty adorbs. All your kids, you have good looking kids. The four boys, for sure.
Unfortunately, I don't. No, I'm kidding.
You do, but not all four.
No, I'm just kidding. just three of the four. That's the. We don't talk about him.
I said, that's so funny, because Sunday at Mass, I said to Jojo, because I took that funny picture of him. So I was at Josh's place for his son's birthday, and I took this funny picture of his son eating this big piece of cake. So I said to Jojo, "Hey, did you see that picture I sent to your mom of you eating the cake?" And he's like, "I have a mirror. I know what I look like."
There you go.
He's such a funny kid.
Yeah, he's got quick wit.
I know. It's so true. Okay, so we're like almost near the end of October now, you know, and like this October kind of went quick, and there's still every day more cases of COVID and all these things happening. So we're just kind of moving along, doing our best, the best we can, right? And speaking of the best we can, I guess you two are the. Of the three of us are the ones on the set who are married.
Yep.
Right? I'm not. And today we're talking about marriage, more specifically divorce. So the Catholic teaching on divorce. Yeah. Because I think there are a lot of misconceptions on divorce and people who understand the wrong thing about divorce and maybe not the fullness of what the church teaches. Right? So I think it's a good topic to tackle, and hopefully people will find it, because there are lots of people who come to Mass or are Catholic, they're in situations where they're separated, they're divorced. Some are in situations where they're divorced and remarried. So I think it's good to tackle it.
Yeah, and I think there's a misconception. Like you said, so the church says all divorce is wrong. You could only get the Catholic divorce of annulment if that was, you know what I mean? Like, and so all that understanding around that is not necessarily true. I mean, there's myths around that, right? About what each one is.
Right.
So there are a couple of different terms. Okay. So me and my wife, we're married, love each other. What are the options, or what is allowed for us to happen? What are the different states of our marriage, let's just say, in case of getting a, we no longer are going to be together, if that makes sense. So is a Catholic annulment, is a Catholic divorce an annulment?
So there's a number of, like you said, there's some terms, right?
Yeah.
So there is, number one, separation.
Separation.
Right? So separation is just that the two have separated. And
that's just living apart from each other.
They've separated physically, but are still in sort of inside of a marriage bond.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Then there's divorce. And divorce is a
civil dissolution, or a dissolution of a civil marriage.
Exactly. Yeah. A dissolution, so an ending of a civil marriage, right?
So not a sacrament of marriage in the church, just a civil marriage.
Yes and no. So this is where it gets kind of complicated, and people, especially over, you know, a few generations, where like the gap between what was understood as a civil kind of contract of marriage and the religious sacrament of marriage, the gap between those two things has really widened over, you know, the last half century.
Yeah.
So it's complicated, because the church does recognize the validity of civil marriage. It's not as easy as just saying that, you know, like an annulment is, you know, just a Catholic divorce, or vice versa. So looking at the context, the situation itself, the grounds for kind of separation, or if people want to move apart. That's really it's complex.
Okay. Yeah, so. And it is a complex issue. So maybe we should like break it down according to those terms that you brought forward.
Yeah. Okay.
Forward,
so right? There's separation, divorce, and then what else?
Annulment.
Annulment.
Right.
And so annulment in the church's eyes, just as a brief definition, is.
So an annulment, people do think is a Catholic divorce, like permission for you to divorce. Yeah. But an annulment is actually there's an investigation that takes place that shows that the marriage wasn't valid to begin with.
So it never really happened. The actions were done, but it wasn't God pairing the two together.
Yeah, and there could be for a number of reasons. Could be that someone didn't give proper consent. Maybe wasn't in the position to give proper consent. Maybe there was something hidden from the process before they got married. Maybe someone lied about their baptism or lied about a previous marriage or, you know, so an annulment is just stating the fact that the marriage was not valid to begin with.
Yeah.
It's not permission to divorce.
No.
You know, and so I think that's good to clarify that.
Yeah. Okay. So those are the three states of, let's say, a marriage in terms of getting separation
in terms of marriages that are on kind of on their way out or in trouble. I think the context for our discussion about all of these things has to be kind of marriage itself, and marriage is the natural order, and like the church's aim is to ensure that the sacrament of marriage is properly administered so that people do actually have kind of fruitful, lifelong marriages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a really good thing to say, because it should be in the context of marriage. Marriage is until death do you part, right? Yeah. Until the end of your life. So this is a partnership, a covenant you're entering with your spouse until the end of your life. That's marriage. Not life isn't always as clean cut as that, right? And so there are a number of things that happen in your life that would I think be grounds for separation. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to be clear. The church doesn't say, like some people who have experienced maybe a priest or someone in the church telling them, you have to stay in your marriage. You know, there are people, the seniors today, when back in the day, maybe they were in abusive situations and people in the church said, you have to stay in your marriage. The church doesn't say that you have to stay in dangerous situations. The church doesn't say you have to stay in abusive situations or relationships that are causing you
harm.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we need to clarify that right from the get-go. Mm-hmm. The church does not say, by all means necessary, you must stay in this bond. Yeah. Right? So what would be, let's talk about the separation stage. So now we're talking about a couple who are separating from each other, but retaining the marriage bond. What does that look like?
It comes down to kind of what those circumstances are. If there is any hope for kind of repairing the marriage. So one of those instances could be something like addiction. Serious substance abuse that's putting the spouse or the children in what would be a dangerous situation. If the couple is separated, as you know, one of them is working through a solvable problem or something that they just kind of need time and space to sort out, then it's just that's kind of the term put on it, that it's a separation until such a time that the marriage can be resumed under proper conditions. Mm-hmm. But if it is something maybe more kind of terminal or something that there's no real hope of resolving, then they have kind of maybe recourse to annulment if it's something that was a situation before they were married. But there in that case, you would kind of consult a priest, you would consult a canon lawyer, you would look at what options.
Are you allowed to live in separation for no good reason? like in today's world, that would be two people. I feel like marriage in the world, not the sacrament of marriage, but the marriage in the world is almost just another name for dating. You know, sometimes it's almost looked at like a long-term dating solution. But like after 5 years, okay, I'm done. I'm out. And we just don't love each other anymore. We're just going to go our separate way. Someone gets hurt probably, but you know, whatever. Is there any reason why someone would separate after, like, let's say a year, 2 years married, they decide, okay, this is not for them, they just separate. Are they allowed to just legally separate for no other reason than I just don't love you anymore? Did I stump you?
Well, I think, yeah. I think
the reason I bring it up, because that's something that I can see people going to as a loophole or as a, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I think, like, given what I was saying earlier about kind of the widening gap between civil marriage as kind of a contract, whereas you're talking about the sacrament of marriage as a covenant. This is something that, what we've talked about, just the Eastern tradition, different ways they do things, that in an Eastern, like Byzantine marriage, a lot of times the couple will process in with kind of laurels, but it's supposed to be a crown of martyrdom, that you're kind of dying to yourself. So in today's kind of like radically individualistic world, marriage as
sacrifice
isn't foreign. It's a civil marriage in a lot of cases is kind of a convenient social arrangement that ceases to be an arrangement at that point, which it ceases to be convenient. So that it's like just kind of like disposable. So I think, and if we go back to kind of the Bible and they're looking for Jesus to kind of permit this stuff. It's like Moses said we could do this if we, you know, presented someone with a certificate. And he said, no, Moses said this was okay because your hearts were hard, but this is not in accord with the natural order. This is not in accord with the natural law. So he's saying what God has joined, let no one separate. So if your marriage is validly ratified and consummated, then I think the answer to your question is no. Or like you're looking at just kind of
very superficial.
Moving away from the natural order, moving away from God's design for marriage. So I would say yes. Yeah. But if there's a canon lawyer that's watching this, then, you know, feel free to disagree in the comments because it is pretty complex.
Yeah, and I think we have to make a distinction between people who are wanting to see their marriage end because of reasons that aren't valid versus reasons that might be. Right?
Yeah.
We talked about abusive situations before we went on. Before we went on there. Yeah. Abusive situations when you're in harm. These are different than situations like, I'm not in love with you anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe I found someone younger.
Exactly.
I found someone who understands me. Like outside of, or sort of like looking to end the marriage for almost your own
self gratification,
maybe
and not sacrificing to self, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's a totally different situation. And in those situations, like for example, I think people might understand that divorce is not necessary. People might understand that divorce is not necessarily a problem.
No,
but divorce and remarriage is. However, divorce, for those reasons, like you found someone younger, is a problem in itself. Just ending your marriage contract for something that's not legitimate.
Wouldn't that be pretty much right from like the Ten Commandments there? Covenanting someone.
Exactly.
Right? It's just like right there.
Exactly. But ending a marriage because there's adultery, for example.
Yes.
There's harm, there's abuse, those are totally different things that I think we have to make a distinction between, because people think like, oh, I can leave my marriage and just not remarry and I'm okay in the Catholic Church, but that's not
the case. Has to have a valid reason, that is what you're saying.
There has to be a very valid reason,
And there are very specific things that could happen. Okay, so then part of this is also getting into the marriage part. This is why it's so important for a priest to, before he marries somebody, or even a deacon for that matter, but before the people get married in the church, they actually have to go through marriage prep courses. Yeah. They also have to sit down with the priest, and the priest, I mean, depending on how you do things, we had one meeting with the priest. Now, we were pretty well known, so it wasn't a big deal. But if that was all that it was for most people, just a quick 2-second meeting, boom, 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 this is how things are going to happen logistically, that I don't know. What happens normally in one of those marriage meetings? Like you're.
So most dioceses or parishes would say that you have to at least see your priest 6 months before your marriage, which isn't really a long long time.
Not 6 to 8
months,
marriage.
They say. Yeah. Some churches say a year.
The time you look for a dress.
Right? Yeah. And they want you to come and make contact. Now, like you said, if you're known in your parish because you attend frequently, You can do that quite regularly. Your pastor probably knows you got engaged.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But for people who aren't attending their church regularly, you know, sometimes they wait till the 6-month mark and say, I'm looking to get married, right? So yeah, normally the priest should meet with them a number of times and really get to know this couple.
And what are you looking to do as a priest in that situation? What is your goal?
There's a number of things. Yeah. One, you're looking to support them spiritually, to really help them understand the spiritual side of marriage, the covenant they're entering into, not only with each other, but with the God, right? The other is you're looking for their intention. Yeah. You know, that's why you have to spend time with them. Mm-hmm. When you sit down with someone like when I met Matt for the first time, you know, he pulls the wool over your eyes. He comes off charming, and then you get to know the real him, right? But when you meet someone for the first time, they can make an impression of however they want, right? So you can say, well, this person is sincere. When you get to know them and you meet them, you start to see there's different patterns. Maybe you do start to see, wow, this is a beautiful couple. They're ready for marriage.
That's right.
And then you sign off on them.
Yeah.
You know, every priest or deacon has to sign off saying, I find the intentions of this couple to be sincere as they enter into marriage. So for me, putting my signature there, I take quite seriously. Yeah. You know, and you can't put your signature there without spending time with these people.
Yeah.
And then part of the process there is a prenuptial inquiry. You separate the couple.
Yeah.
They sit in front of you and you ask them all sorts of questions about their family history, about their intention to get married, if they're sincere about their intention to get married, if they're being forced into marriage. And you're also looking at patterns in the past, especially today, you know, more so than 30 years ago, I guess, you're finding more patterns of mental illness, addictions.
Oh.
And sometimes the spouse or the soon-to-be spouse isn't aware of these things.
Yeah.
Right? So after you've interviewed them separately, maybe you come back and talk about these things. Maybe you come back and maybe you've noticed things in their story aren't really jiving. Maybe you find everything jives and you're like, wow, you guys have talked about everything.
Good
fantastic.
To go.
Good for you. But that's the purpose of it.
Because from my understanding too, if there's hidden secrets, let's say I'm in great financial debt and I didn't tell my soon-to-be wife, or if I have an addiction, or if I have some issues or problems with the law or whatever the case, if I don't tell my wife any of these things or my soon-to-be wife any of these things, we get married. Those are grounds for annulment. For her, right? I mean, for both of us, but like that's a great example because I'm hiding from the full sacrament. I'm not giving my full self because I'm hiding these things.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's what Matt says. The church assumes that every sacrament is legitimate and the proper processes have been taken to make sure that every marriage is valid. But you're right. If it's discovered after,
then you lied
the whole way through.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I was an alcoholic long before I got married, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that could be.
Yeah.
Or I was in great financial debt, or I was.
Or you were committed of a crime.
Yeah. That's a big one.
That your maybe happened
20 years ago,
a year before you met your fiance.
Yeah.
You know,
or you've been married before, and I've.
Yeah.
Literary nerd. I did my thesis on Evelyn Waugh's *Brideshead Revisited*, and it's kind of hilarious because it's treated satirically. But one of the characters wants to marry like the daughter of the main family, and right before the wedding, they find out that he's been married, you know, back in Canada 20 years ago. And they're a Catholic family, and like they realize that this can't go forward the way it is, and he doesn't see the problem because he's completely secularized. The joke is kind of at his expense because he said you can't be remarried in the church without an annulment, and he says an annulment, what's that? What does it cost?
Yeah.
Like I'll buy one because but he's so far removed from kind of the sacramental reality of marriage that it's just a different language for him, or like he doesn't get how that could be an issue. So that the church does its diligence in kind of, you know, ensuring that this is the case before people actually enter into the sacrament is.
Yeah.
So that's why it's important to have these meetings beforehand with the priest, and why, you know, all marriage prep and all that stuff is so important, is to kind of get to make sure that this marriage is happening as a sacrament for the right reasons.
True.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
That makes sense.
Now, as for a civil divorce, when is a civil divorce okay in the eyes of the church? because now, for those of you who are confused about civil marriage and sacramental marriage, a civil marriage is something that's recognized by the province,
the law.
By the law, a sacramental, obviously, by the church. Now, in Ontario and most parts in most places in Canada, the church does both.
Yep.
The church, the minister of the church, who is the priest or the deacon, he stands as the officiant for the church and the officiant for the government.
That's right.
Right? Which is not everywhere. Sometimes
that
doesn't
like in
happen.
Italy or something? That's what
you're saying? Europe, you get married by the courts first or the city or the state or whatever. And then you go and get sacramentally married. It's two separate things, right? You might hear that if you had someone who went and got married in Jamaica.
Well, I was going to say, actually, I heard somebody got married in the States and because of COVID and everything else. So they got married civilly first because they had to actually stay over. And then, for immigration purposes.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But then they were planning on Catholic marriage, but they wanted to have the family all present, but because of COVID, they couldn't.
Right. So, exactly. Then you go and get it. You get your marriage blessed or convalidated by the church, right? But in Ontario and most parts of Canada, the priest
does both.
Does both. Yeah. So when we talk about a civil divorce, then the civil divorce is granted by
the civil authority.
The civil authority.
So the law.
The law. Exactly. Okay. So. Are people who are separated allowed to go and get a civil divorce?
Allowed to get a they are allowed by the law to get a civil divorce because the law doesn't recognize necessarily the sacramental aspect of the marriage. And this is what I was getting at because this is where it gets murkier. This is where it gets kind of confusing for people that 50 or 60 years ago there wasn't that much of a divide between what the government understood as a marriage and what the church understands as a marriage, understood in different ways, obviously. It would be, I've had conversations with friends of mine who are on tribunals for annulment, saying that their job is made increasingly more kind of complex and difficult because the church recognizes the validity of civil marriages. Saying
civil divorce.
Exactly, or they recognize it, but in a negative way that it is something that when you have even sincere people who have kind of been through these life circumstances, because life is messy, especially especially when you know culture at large has kind of dispensed with a sacramental view of marriage. People growing up in these situations, these homes, myself included, that this is something that we have to kind of relearn. But when these people are coming to a priest, coming to the church and saying we want a sacramental marriage, that there are a lot of kind of difficult situations that need to be worked through, that it would be a lot easier if the church made a more clear distinction between civil marriage and and sacramental marriage.
True.
Yeah,
I agree.
So does the church recognizes a civil divorce in a negative way, you said?
Well, it recognizes that it happened, that it's something to be addressed. So if you've been civilly married and divorced and you want to be married within the church, that's something that needs to be addressed. So an annulment needs to be sought, the investigation needs to happen, and you have people waiting sometimes. Okay. It's actually faster now than it was a few years ago.
Yeah.
But before that, sometimes you would have people waiting years.
So if I get married, let's say, at the courthouse, and then I come and I want to be living in the church, I would ideally be talking to my priest. The priest might say something along the lines of, well, why don't you have your marriage blessed? But if I don't, let's say I have a civil marriage. I'm not necessarily, I'm Catholic, but I'm not living out my faith. And then I have a civil divorce. Can I, so that's where you're saying I have to go and seek, not atonement, but I need to seek permission from the church to get married again. I have to look at them granting me an annulment for that first marriage. Does that make sense? Yeah, because they see your first marriage, a civil marriage even, as the sacrament. Not necessarily a sacrament, because I'm blessed, but that's where it gets messy.
Exactly. And like I think because like what Matt said, the church recognizes civil marriage. So even let's say you were being married to someone who's not Catholic, who had been married civilly before and divorced, that marriage still has to be investigated by the church
before
you're able
to marry. People need to be married in the church.
Even though it was not exactly.
And right? that's going to be where it's, so it's such a, it gets murky.
Go ahead.
Oh, just to say, especially as like in our context, as people's life and family circumstances become much more complex and yeah. divided, but mm-hmm. it is something that's, yeah.
But in a society today that just, is that we believe in the throwaway culture, right? And I think about this, we were just talking about iPhones, the iPhone 12 came out. But like where we get a phone and then a couple years later, we throw it away, get a new phone, get it, and like even my car today, as we're looking, I'm expecting my car to last me 7 years-ish, hopefully, you know what I mean? But like, back in the 70s and 80s, I was hoping probably for that car to last 50, 60 years. And our car is still around that lasted that long. Our throwaway culture today, you know what I mean? Like that's we apply that then to yeah. our marriages and to our,
to our relationships. Our
relationships
to everything.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's not about me, I don't want to have to do with it. Like this is not, this phone is not benefiting me anymore. I'm going to throw it away, get a new phone that does benefit me. This marriage isn't benefiting me anymore. I'm going to throw it away so I can get, it's true. The me culture, right?
Especially when you kind of overlay like a commercial aspect to it or yeah. a market aspect to it. Yeah. It's like yeah. people treating marriage as like a car lease or something, like actually expecting this to not be a permanent arrangement or yeah. that just like that people want a wedding and then are surprised to end up with a marriage. That
yeah. exactly.
yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. Okay. And we have a few minutes left. I just want to reiterate the fact that people who are in situations where they are divorced
yeah.
Or in situations where they're separated, if there's no hope for reconciliation, let's say,
yeah.
if there's no hope to be reconciled, let's say the other spouse is already moved on or whatever, that they should talk to their pastor.
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And always look at to see if there is maybe some...
The avenues that you can travel.
Yeah, there's some yeah, yeah. avenues that they can take. You know, even someone who is divorced and remarried civilly,
yeah.
right? They should also talk to their pastor
yeah.
And see what can be done there to resolve some situations that are just outstanding. I think people had the understanding that annulments in the church were expensive and took long time, and I think at one point they were. They took a long time. They could be pricey, but with recent changes by Pope Francis a number of years ago, and the diocese having restructured, annulments are free,
yeah.
and they're not taking long at all. Trust me, I work with couples who are in the process of annulments. They're done within months
yeah.
to a year max. I've never had one longer than a year, right? So. Like, yeah. I want people to understand that those are options out there. Don't just sit in that situation. And also for people who don't feel guilty, there's a lot of people saying, oh, you're divorced. You yeah. shouldn't be coming to church. That's crazy. That's yeah. ludicrous yeah. to say that you shouldn't be coming to church. Everyone should be coming to church. Yeah. Everyone should be coming to Mass. You know, there might be times when we require to refrain from receiving the Eucharist.
Yeah.
However, we should be in the presence of that miracle happening, the consecration. We should be hearing the word. We should be listening and reflecting on God's word to really change our heart, right? Don't avoid coming because yeah. you're in any situation.
And there is a real danger, too, of people looking at either the complexity or encountering people who don't really know what they're talking about, just saying, like, okay, well, this you're automatically on the outside, or you're just like, Catholicism isn't for you if you've had these life experiences, which is just completely removed. The church should, so if you're talking to a pastor, the church should do everything in its power to allow you to enter into the fullness of the sacramental life. And that's the mission of the church.
Exactly.
So yes, sometimes this is difficult. Sometimes it requires a period of waiting. I entered the church. I went to church. I went to Mass for 2 years before I was able to receive the Eucharist because I had to be prepared, or that the church wants people to, wants to aid people in living a sacramental life. And that's not just off limits for people who've had kind of these negative life experiences.
Well said.
I think it's the imagery that always came to mind like that was that the church, some people see the church as a school that you have to learn, or you get disciplined if you go do wrong or what the case may be. It's not necessarily a school or whatever. It's a hospital. Every person here mm-hmm. is in need of the doctor, and the only doctor in the room is the guy at the front, not you, but the one that lives in the gold box.
Exactly.
Even you need
exactly.
that doctor, right?
I need that doctor.
So every single person here is a patient. It's yeah. not necessarily right. that anybody here is a doctor or a nurse. Everyone here is a patient.
Yeah, and come talk to a priest, talk to yeah. someone at the parish, yeah. Talk to the Lord himself in prayer, you know? Stop listening to people who think they know what the church teaches,
yeah.
you know? And they sit around a table and say, the church of divorce and this and that. Come and investigate. Come with an open heart.
Yeah.
Situations might be very complicated. they're never too complicated to see how the church can help, because the church can help in so many different ways. I think people take that for granted.
Yeah, right? For sure.
And I think that is where we're going to leave it today. Good conversation on divorce. I hope you both have for marriages that last forever.
I think my wife got stuck with me.
Exactly. I think they're both stuck with you. Yeah. So if anyone has any questions on what we talked about today, I know it's a complicated topic on divorce, remarriage, annulments, all those things. Drop us a line. thecatholicbuzzpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be happy to answer your questions on a future episode, or send us your comments about anything, and we'll answer your questions there too. So join us next time when we have more fun stuff to talk about. For Josh Sullivan and Matt Van Milligan, I'm Father Daniele. We'll see you next time on The Catholic Buzz.